Welcome to And With Your Spirit, a homily podcast that takes preaching out of the sanctuary and moves it into your daily life. Let us make ourselves open to the voice of Christ and the movement of the Holy Spirit, that we might be transformed.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
amen.
The Lord be with you. Good morning, everyone. In the Easter season, we typically get readings in the gospel anyway from the church pointing us in the direction of remaining with and in Christ. For example, on the weekdays and on the weekends, we hear a lot of the Last Supper discourse where Jesus says, remain in me and stay connected to the vine, and without me you can do nothing, right? Like, just be with me. And the reason I think we have that is because after a Lenten season, what we want to do is rush on out into the world and just kind of be free and feel free again, right? Enjoy all the things that we had given up. But the church is trying to remind us that in order to find the truth, we have to remain connected to the one who gives us the truth. And Jesus today actually even gives us a further promise of not only himself, but another person of the Trinity that will help guide us there. The times where we have failed to stay connected to any person in the Godhead, the times where we have failed to love our neighbor as we should, let us call to mind our sins. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You heard me tell you, I am going away and I will come back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now that I have told you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. The Holy Spirit will teach you everything. In the last few weeks, I've noticed that the world around me doesn't usually agree with what I'm trying to do with my life. Anybody else feel like that? Not like just things not working out, the stoplights being red, that kind of stuff. More along the lines of like heavy stuff, things that I believe. A couple of the big ones have been all the stuff surrounding the abortion case with the Dobbs document being leaked and the number of things that I see on social media in particular, but also on the news, on the radio, about how people are fighting for the right to abortion. And as I hear these things, it causes me trouble and fear, right? Not because I think that I'm wrong or because I think we're going to lose, per se, but because it's not... I don't know, it feels weird to be swimming in a pool that is uncomfortable, right? And the culture kind of feels like that. Or a couple of weeks ago, there was an exorcist from the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, a priest whose job, in addition to being a pastor, is to help people who feel like there might be something wrong in their life, obsession, possession, and anyways, these kinds of things. And he's like a real deal. Like, you know, people think that this is just on movies. It's not. Talk to a guy like him. He's very dry and monotone and very objective. Like, the speech he gave would have been terrible if it wasn't for the content. I mean, this, you know, he's not the kind of person that exaggerates or like shares all the fun details to make of the things that he does, which makes him even more credible for his work. And then after I heard him speak a few weeks ago, I've been noticing advertisements for television shows or movies, and how many out there right now are about the occult. Nobody has noticed that, right? People practicing witchcraft or summoning spirits. Not to be all doom and gloom today, but those are kind of things I've been noticing more. And I thought, man, like, we're fighting against this. So I was watching Netflix a few days ago. I was watching something before the episode or in between, like on the commercials. They kept advertising this show about how people are going into the, quote, deep with demons. And if you want to become their friend, you got to go with them. And I thought, this is stuff that our kids have a clicker for. They can watch this anytime if we have Netflix or any of these other streaming services. And then the biggest one was yesterday. Someone sent me a video from Bill Maher. I think I say his last name, M-A-H-E-R. You might know who that is. He's a comedian. Okay. I don't really watch late night talk shows. He's got one. But someone sent me a clip of him from Friday or some days ago. And he was doing his opening monologue. It was like 9 minutes long. And it was called Along for the Pride, was the name of his segment. Like Along for the Ride, but talking about gay pride stuff. And he's generally, I think, someone who's actually pretty progressive. But his whole segment was about the LGBT community and whether or not it's actually, in fact, good as a movement for our children, which I wasn't expecting to hear him talk about that. It's really worth the 9-minute clip. I usually wouldn't say that about most daytime television or nighttime television, but it's really good. It's really good. The things he says, and it's very crude, it's very crass, it's very flippant. It's not like a happy thing for like young people to watch. But he makes a lot of interesting points. Now, a lot of it's through humor. So for example, he starts off by launching into a Gallup poll that was taken recently. And he said that the number of people who identify as LGBT or whatever that's on that spectrum has been doubling every generation. Here are the numbers. This is from Gallup. 0.8% of people in the silent generation, that's like born before the 1950s, 0.8% identify as LGBT, right? 0.8%. The next generation, the baby boomers, identify at a rate of 2.6%. Just 3 times higher. The next generation, the Gen Xers, they identify at a rate of 4.2%, basically doubled, not quite. The next one, the millennials, that's like my generation, the 80s and 90s, they identify at a rate of 10.5%, more than doubled. It's 1 out of every 10 kids or people. And then finally, Gen Z, which is the current generation that's able to take surveys anyway, they identify at a rate of 20.8%. 20.8%, that's 1 out of every 5 kids in high school or college identifies as lesbian, bi, trans, gay, etc. That seems a bit high, doesn't it? I don't know. Anyways, he made a joke after he said that and said, at this rate, by the year 2050, everyone will be gay. So he used a lot of these statistics, right, in these movements and said, like, what's really going on here? And for example, he said, why is it that it's more common to have a kid who's one of these things in California than in Ohio? Is it because people in California are teaching their kids to be this way? Or people in Ohio are preventing their kids from being this way? Or some combination? Another thing he said is, we won't let kids walk to the end of the street without having some GPS tracker on their phone, like the Find My iPhone. All you parents use it, I know you do. I've seen it. You can keep track of where your kids are, and yet that parents will let their kids take hormone pills or blockers that stop their body from forming as it naturally would. He said, if kids knew what they wanted to be when they grew up, then the whole world would be filled with cowboys and princesses. If someone says they're trapped in the wrong body, should we believe them at 10 years old? Should we let them have a change? Anyways, it was really a good little bit. So if you want to look for something today, again, you'll hear cussing, you'll hear vulgar words. Sorry, Father did tell you it's a good bit, but I think he makes some good points. And as I was listening to this, I was thinking to myself, you know, I've got friends who fall in this category. And I wondered, like, are we right as a church? Is society right? It's a good question. As we're swimming amongst all of this other stuff around us as Catholics, how do we know what's true? Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid, Jesus says. It's pretty difficult not to be troubled. Maybe not to be afraid. I'm not afraid, I guess. More troubled. It's pretty difficult not to be troubled when you see what's out there, isn't it? Am I the only one? Am I getting old already? This is what old people always say, right? The world, man, when I was a kid, it was so much better off. But I do think there's something that we need to be aware of here. It's very easy, I think, for us to look around and say, man, the whole world is going to H-E double hockey sticks in a handbasket, and so we're going to circle the wagons, right? Just ride it out. People actually even talk about that. I wonder if that's not one of the reasons why homeschooling is on the rise. Did you know that? More and more people are, I think that it doubled last year, the number of people who are homeschooled. And probably because parents, they're tired of having to constantly worry about what their kids are exposed to. And I don't blame them. But is that the answer? I don't know, you know? I think that Jesus, what he's trying to do to us is to set us free, and yet we don't feel free, not always. And so the answer is found in the same gospel passage. How do I not let my heart be troubled or afraid? How do you not let your heart be troubled or afraid? in this world today? Well, Jesus says it, because I will send you an advocate, the Holy Spirit, and they will teach you everything, guide you into all of the truth. You know, I love that word that Jesus used there, an advocate. An advocate is toward the voice or toward the calling, ad vocare in Latin. It's the one, it's like a lawyer, right? The one who knows the case, knows where you are, and is trying to go to the same goal that you're headed toward, and they will stand up for you against the enemies. All you do is sit and be a witness, right? The Holy Spirit will do the rest. Do we ask for the Holy Spirit? When's the last time that you asked for the Holy Spirit to guide you into truth? Yesterday, after I watched this video from Bill Maher, I thought, man, I should share this on social media. Then I thought, oh, wait. If I share something like this on social media, you know what's going to happen, right? Comments and angry messages and all this kind of stuff, right? People are going to report it. A buddy of mine actually, he had shared a clip of something that about Nancy Pelosi being denied communion in the Archdiocese of San Francisco now. And he shared that on social media and basically said, like, if you want to be Catholic, be Catholic. And if you don't want to be Catholic, then find a religion that fits your opinions. And somebody flagged that as offensive hate speech, and it got taken down off of Instagram. So as I was thinking about posting this, I thought, oh, I better not do that. I don't want to deal with this, you know? And then I thought, no, right? Buck up, Father. Have some courage. And so it took me a little while, and I actually prayed. I said, Lord, should I do this? Like, should I post this? And it doesn't, you know, it's one Facebook post, right? Like, who cares? But it was the first time in a while that I actually stopped and said, would you guide me into the truth? I don't know what the truth is right now for me, this action. Is it true or not true? Is it helpful or not? Is it going to build bridges to Christ and stop people from falling into sin, or is it not? And so I posted it. Like 10 people looked at it. That was it. All this agonizing, right, over nothing. But I do think it's important for us to ask that question. When's the last time that you were in an argument with someone about church things or about daily things, and you said, a prayer. Holy Spirit, come and guide me into truth. Holy Spirit, give me wisdom. Holy Spirit, give me patience with my spouse because he is so wrong right now, right? When's the last time when you were looking for a new job that you said, God, what job do you want me to have? Guide me into all truth. When's the last time when you were watching a movie or a television show or saw a commercial and it bothered you and you said, Lord, guide the whole world into the light? Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid, because the Holy Spirit is coming and will teach you everything. It's so easy for us to say, God the Father, provide for me. Jesus Christ, be with me, console me, heal me. But do you ever say, Holy Spirit, show me the truth? Probably the most neglected person of the Holy Trinity. It's like the middle child of the Holy Trinity family. It's the one that doesn't get the attention and doesn't think he does. And maybe he doesn't. I don't use him enough. And so, in 2 weeks, we're going to have Pentecost. And on that day, we pray for the coming of the Holy Spirit. We wear red. Actually, at this parish, I think somebody actually organizes and makes everybody wear red, because you all do that every year. That's really cool, actually, because we're supposed to be on fire with the Holy Spirit. So on that day, we're going to ask the Spirit to come, and before that day, let's get ready. This is how I'm going to end my homily. Here's the point. If you've never made a novena before, it's 9 days or 9 months or nine something in a row. Now, I'm going to encourage you to do a 9-day novena to the Holy Spirit. You can just Google it. It's easy to find. It's also a very short novena, so it's like shallow into the pool for novenas, all right? Find that novena and do it. Maybe I'll even send it out in emails every day. That'd be a good idea, actually. I just gave myself a job. All right. It'd be good for us to do that, because in that prayer we say, Holy Spirit, empty me so that I can be filled with you. Give me the 7 gifts that you promised to give me and that you sealed me with at my confirmation, and ask those gifts to come alive. Because right now, the world needs the truth. We need the truth. As I was listening to Bill Maher, I thought, man, this guy is saying a lot of true things. Maybe he had more courage than I did. Maybe he actually had the truth more than I did. At least the scientific studies, the newspaper clippings, a way to reach people potentially through humor, through levity, which often is the best way to try to tell something serious. It's with a note of joy. I really encourage you next Friday or Saturday to start that novena, asking the Holy Spirit to come be with us. Because right now you may be troubled or afraid, and right now you may not be. But either way, the world could really use a dose of the Holy Spirit, and it's our job to bring that Holy Spirit to them.